This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
At their meeting on September 2, 2008, the Charlottesville City Council approved plans for the replacement of a bridge that carries Jefferson Park Avenue extended over the railroad tracks. Charlottesville Tomorrow's recording begins with a staff report from Jeanette Janacek, VDOT Program Manager for the City of Charlottesville.
Good evening. I wanted to first start with a brief overview of where we've come from. And about a year and a half ago, VDOT first showed us the original plan for the bridge, which essentially took the cross-section of JPA Extended, what you currently see out there, and extending it to the constrained intersection of JPA and Fontaine and Maury. A public hearing was held by City Council. Neighborhood input was taken, and from that, City Council composed a letter to VDOT explaining that they would like to see the bridge narrowed, but two, also to be financially responsible of either keep it at the same budget or maybe seeing some cost savings due to the structure being smaller in size. So VDOT held another pre-scoping meeting with VDOT staff, with a counselor present, and also with city staff. City staff also held another meeting with neighborhood representatives from Fry Springs, JPA, and VDOT, so everyone could get around the table and discuss. The bridge width wasn't discussed because that had been settled, but additional design features were brought up at the meeting, and VDOT has agreed to take a look at and see what they could incorporate in the design. So from those meetings, VDOT first order of business was looking at that bridge, and instead of trying to match the cross-section of JPA Extended, they looked at the bridge and recognized the city wanted it as narrow as possible. So using minimum design safety standards, they are now proposing a, I believe, 67-foot wide bridge, still allowing for the 2 5-foot sidewalks, 2 bike lanes, but also a concrete island in part, and part of it is also painted to separate traffic, and also minimum design for transition areas for the bridge. So that's what you see there, the width of the bridge. They've also done a few different design features that you'll also notice maybe. There used to be a staircase with switchbacks, and the neighborhood requested that a longer ramp be created for strollers, but also VDOT was able to make sure it was ADA compliant, and then also a straight staircase. So you could either go quick straight up the stairs, or if you have something, go, and that's at the Todd Avenue entrance. We were also able to move the turnaround at Todd Avenue up onto city land, saving a tree. There is no cost savings in that, however, because utilities will have to be relocated, so it's kind of a wash there. So what we're here today is to confirm that you accept that with minimum design standards, the width of the bridge, and then VDOT can continue to look at the other design options that the neighborhood is interested in. And Brent Sprinkle and Greg Krasiniak from VDOT are here to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions before we open the public hearing?
I just wondered the question of 60 feet versus 67 feet. Has that been re-explored or...
Excuse me, Brent Sprinkle. I'm Assistant District Administrator for Culpeper District and Engineering. And the 60-foot, which I think is what Council had requested, and we started out with that, really matches the typical section. If you slide back on JPA to the south and get away from the intersection, the additional few feet on each side of the bridge are necessary in order to have the proper transitions into the intersection at Fontaine and Maury Avenue. So we basically maintain the typical section, the 12-foot lanes, the 3 12-foot lanes, the 2 5-foot bike lanes, one on each side, and the 2 5-foot sidewalks, and the separation between those the turn lane and the opposing lane of the 4-foot median. If you add that up, it's right at 60 feet. But by being so close to the interchange, we needed to have some transitions, and we feel that's very important for several reasons. One, you've got a mixed use out here. You've got bike traffic. You've got a lot of vehicular traffic. I think current counts are in the 12,000 range. That will only increase. And then you've got a lot of pedestrian movements. And two, we have these conflict points between traffic and bike, which I'm sure you're familiar with in the Charlottesville. And we need to maintain the proper spacing on these things and the proper transitions to avoid introducing additional safety issues as you merge into the intersection.
And what is the width of the sidewalks on each side?
5 foot.
And bike lane?
5 foot. And the travel lanes are 12 foot. That's the actual width. Obviously, when you put the striping in, you lose a little bit of actual width there, even though you can drive on the striping, but it's not supposed to be done.
Mr. Sprinkle.
Yes.
Right after the bridge, on the east side of the bridge, on the south side of the street, there's some parking. And it's been suggested that if that parking were removed or more limited, that would allow the bridge itself to be a little narrower. Could you comment on that, please?
Yeah, well, basically what happens on that side, Joe, the controlling point is actually on the other end of the bridge, and as the transitions come across where the median is, you can get a little further away on the corner where we were showing potential parking. But in order to do that, you're going to end up getting girders skewed and everything else only to pick up a few feet, and it's really not going to be any cost savings to do that.
Okay.
And you won't get it. You still won't get it over here on, I guess it's the Fontaine corner, because you've got to hold that point in order to get the transitions in and the proper lane widths.
I think we're going to have to do that answer again.
Okay.
So if you eliminate some parking spots, you could narrow the bridge width, but it would skew the girders and wouldn't save any money. Is that what you said? I'm trying to follow what you said.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're going to reduce the bridge width substantially. A couple feet over there, obviously, as you work your way down, I think it's like 6 to 8 foot in there. It that we said could be used for parking, it would be the city's decision whether they want to park there or not. But because your controlling points are the diagonals that we need to get the width to get the transition in. And I don't think you want your parapet on one skew or your rail system on one skew and the road going this way.
Okay, so you're trying to make sure the bridge and the road, the bridge itself and the road itself are parallel. And
yeah, we're trying to align everything to match the alignment of the roadway as you come down JPA from, the, I guess it's the south. Don't see a north arrow on
there. Okay, I might ask someone else to translate all that for me if they could.
Well, I think essentially what Brent's trying to say is essentially that the bridge has to remain as wide as it can. We added parking because there was additional space on the other side. Simply like the other design features which we are exploring, we didn't want to get into without really setting the width, because from once we set the width, then the other design features could be.
So it's what you're set. Saying that the width was set, and then it was noted that there was room for parking?
Yes, and then parking was added. But we could take that away if that's not the neighborhood's desire to have parking.
Well, the neighborhood's desire is to have the bridge be smaller.
Right, and VDOT has tried to make it as narrow as possible, but because of the road does not hit directly perpendicular to the going over the railroad tracks. And as you try and move the bridge and try and skew it, as he says, that's where you really start getting into engineering and costs really go up. Then on the other side, you're so close to that intersection. And that intersection, when VDOT looked at it, is so constrained because of the right-of-way. You don't realize it, but a lot of that pavement that you're driving on is actually private property, like Fry Springs station that you've just decided is an IPP, there's quite a bit of the roadway that you're driving on that's really their private property. And because, again, you're so close to that intersection and you're coming up on it and you're kind of going up over the bridge and then down right at a lighted signal, that's another concern for safety. So I think looking at all of this, we're kind of forced into a corner where this is the best option given the money and given that we want to keep on schedule for an add date of November 2009.
Okay. Actually, I was going to bring up that question about the schedule. Can you maybe take a step back at first and just remind us why we're doing this and maybe reference some of the pictures back here and how why is it important to stay as close as possible to that schedule? What is the urgency?
This bridge was first identified as deficient in 1980. And from there, the city has been working and inspecting this annually to see what the current conditions are of the bridge and how safely, how much weight can be carried by how much volume, et cetera. In the 1990s, it was finally added to VDOT's six-year improvement plan. From there, we've finally been allocated the full amount of the money, I think, as of this year. We're currently at a rate where 10 tons could go over it, but really 8 tons is what it's posted at. So you could see a dump truck that weighs more than that, or a moving van, or a bus, a normal vehicle, not a personal vehicle, but something higher, a commercial vehicle. And the pictures that you're looking at right there, those are actually 2 years old. So it's actually gotten worse. But again, we are monitoring it. It is safe to drive over given the posted speed limit, but there is concern that we do stay on schedule. This is an infrastructure, an aging infrastructure that is failing, that does need to be replaced.
So bridges are rated, have safety ratings from 0 to 100, is that right?
0 to 100, and we're at a 2 for sufficiency rating, and Brent could explain a little bit more
and
on that.
Do you know of any bridges in this entire area that have a worse rating?
The last time I looked, 2 was the lowest one in the Culpeper District, and it's probably one of the lowest ones in the state unless the bridge is already closed.
And typically you want to see a bridge at least 40?
Well, 50 is usually 50. The break point when it becomes eligible for federal funds for replacement. You know, there's a lot else that goes into that decision other than just the numbers.
I just want to put this in context. So.
Yeah, it's very critical that we move forward as rapidly as possible. Even though the bridge is safe today, the next inspection might find something that would require us to spend expensive maintenance money to keep it open or to possibly close it, which has happened in the county recently.
Any other questions before we open the public hearing? Thank you all very much. Now, I have Robbie Savage signed up to speak on this one, but I'm guessing you were signing up to speak on the other issue. Peter Hedlund.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Peter Hedlund. I live at 204 Todd Avenue. And as the president of the Frog Spring Neighborhood Association, I wish to express the association's concern over VDOT's proposed Jefferson Park Avenue bridge design, the one that we've just been talking about. The FSNA does appreciate being kept abreast of bridge developments by NDS staff. They've done a great job keeping us up to date on the process of the bridge. And we want to thank them for their receptivity both to the altered ADA ramp that Ms. Janicek described and to the shift in the turnaround placement. We really do appreciate that and the staircase added at the end of Todd Avenue. In April of 2007, the city formally requested that the proposed bridge width be reduced from 80 feet to no greater than 60 feet. We talked about that a little bit earlier. And after studying the recently proposed bridge plan, we asked that council reiterate its request that the bridge be kept to 60 feet or under. The current proposal shows a bridge width of 67 feet. We asked that the on-street parking proposed on the southwest approach to the bridge be removed. By removing the parking lane feeding into the southern side of the bridge and by consolidating the remaining width to accommodate only necessary bike, pedestrian, traffic lanes, the bridge width could be reduced by more than 10%. We sent a design that showed some of the what we considered to be dead space removed from the bridge, and I hope you all got a chance to look at that. It sounds like you did from some of the comments. In conclusion, we hope that this crumbling neighborhood bridge that we see in those pictures up there is replaced as quickly as possible. We just hope that the main factor driving its design is safety. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hedlund. Anybody else? I had Linda Seaman, but I don't think she was commenting on this one either. So, yes.
Good evening. My name is Michael Petras. I live at 209 Todd Avenue. I'd just like to revisit a couple of the points that have been made thus far regarding the increased reduction of the bridge past the 67 feet that has been discussed. The package of materials that was included with the letter from FSNA represents a design that we made our best attempt to look at in order to show how something like that might be accomplished. My background is in architecture and urban design, so I'm familiar with some of the comings and goings of how traffic does get laid out. And it is our intention, not to slow down the bridge construction. And so in that effort, we have simply asked that by removing the parking lane that is where parking does not exist now, and moving the what is shown as the western sort of edge of the bridge, one bay south, that we could reduce the width of the bridge by about 7.5 feet. As we understand from Janicek, the bridge module or the spacing of the girders on the bridge is about 7.5 feet, and so we're requesting that VDOT take one more look and in eliminating that parking, eliminate one module of that bridge from the western end, from the western edge of the bridge down, which we don't see as compromising the amount of time that it would take to actually get the bridge under construction. If you again look at the package of materials that we included, I don't know if anybody has it here. What we are showing is to the east, leaving the bridge edge where it is, and reconfiguring the traffic striping, something that we looked at as being, please don't take this personally, but being a bit sloppy, taking out what we show as the no man's lands that are shown between the bike lanes and the sidewalk. There are several feet of unused space there that doesn't seem to have anything to do with how traffic merges. It's simply just leftover useless space. And by consolidating the bridge width by 7 feet, it would eliminate this useless space that is really built for nothing. The lanes that we have shown in our proposal are the same widths that VDOT has been showing, you know, the 5 feet for bike lanes, 5 feet for sidewalks, 12 feet for driving lanes, as well, and we also show the median as well. So we would ask that the city request that VDOT please re-examine this one last issue in order to perhaps take off this one last module of the bridge and get the width of the bridge back down to where the city requested in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else like to speak? Okay, we will. Ms. DeSantio, would you like to speak? No? We will close the public hearing and open it up for further comments or questions.
I would just like to ask the engineers to just explain a little bit more. If it is 5 feet pedestrian, 5 feet bike, and two moving lanes and one turning lane, that adds up to 56 feet. So I just wondered where is the remaining between 56 and 67.
Yeah, the other 4 foot is the raised median, which I think you can see where it ties back into the grass median
further
south. Yes, that gives you your 60 feet, which is what I think council had looked at earlier. And like I said, the need to transition properly into the intersection is where the flare on the bridge comes out a little bit and picks up a few feet on each side.
You do have I counted the turning lane of 12 feet for transition, so I don't understand how you get from 60 to 67.
Run through that again. Yeah. The width of all of
it. Would it help if he showed you on the map?
Yeah, that would help.
I mean, I think one of the problems of maps is not quite as definitive, but
I think it means you have to stand up there.
You want to turn around?
Yeah, if you would.
Would you do that, Brent, just to I'd like to you can see it.
That'd be helpful.
Yeah, what we've got, well, this is marked pretty clear here, sidewalk at your 5 foot. We've got the bike lane, which is 5 foot. You've got your 12-foot through lane here. You pick up your 12-foot turn lane, although it's variable across the bridge, obviously, because of the transitions. Then when you get to the other side, you've got your 12-foot lane. You pick up your 5-foot bike lane right here, and then that's right at the edge of the sidewalk, which is 5 foot here, so you get to 60-foot through there. You know, and to pull this module out that they were talking about earlier, this parking, you know, if you pull this module out, you slide this whole side of the bridge down 7, 8 feet, whatever. And then what that does, that pushes this entire transition lane further this way. So then when you do that, you're not having the proper widths in these lanes.
Can you explain?
That's because it's at a diagonal?
Right, it'd be going across something like that. That's kind of exaggerated, but that's about what it would appear.
Can you explain the quote-unquote dead space between the bike lane and the sidewalk on either side?
Is this little bit in here?
Right.
That's where it's flaring out in order to, the roadway is flaring out in order to make this turn down this way, and then up here it's coming back in to tie to the sidewalk that's already up in this location. And you know, if you try to pull this in, depending on where these conflict points, where the traffic decides to move, you introduce a potential safety issue with this bike traffic, but you got to get through there. And you know, with this 12,000 vehicles today, I don't have a count on the bike traffic, but I'm assuming it's pretty substantial being close to the university, the same way as the pedestrian traffic is. So to maintain that open space, if you want to call it that, enhances the safety of the roadway for the traveling public. And I don't know whether you're going to have transit coming through here in the future. I know now with the restricted weight limit and no through trucks, you know, you can't come through there. But when the buses, transit buses or whatever should come in there, which is a city decision, the more space you can get between the mixed use there, the safer it's going to be.
I actually had a question for Mr. Hedlund, not to put you on the spot, but if you could come forward. I'm curious to know just in terms of how the neighborhood arrived at the 60-foot figure as sort of the goal. Was that a sort of arbitrary, or how did? And then secondly, just for the public's understanding, what is the neighborhood's motivation? What is your concern about having the bridge be tighter than it is proposed here?
Well, you know, the 60 feet, as I understand it, I wasn't on the task force that sort of looked at this issue in a lot of detail, but is the, you know, the sidewalk, the bike lane, the two travel lanes, including the median, you know, the turn lane, so you take all those things in sum and it comes to even a little bit less than 60 feet. We see some dead space on the bridge, and I'm not an engineer, I'm not even an architect. Ultimately, we want the safest bridge built as soon as possible. However, since this is one of the main entrances to our neighborhood, we want to make sure that this reflects the residential nature of our neighborhood. We don't want this to be turned into, you know, the parkway to get out to Biscuit Run in the county. We want to maintain the quiet as we can, residential streets that we have now. That's ultimately our interest in reducing the size of the bridge.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Sure.
Any other comments?
It seems that 60 feet is, if the land was featureless and plain and straight, it would work. But I think they need extra feet for the unit to match the existing road and existing sidewalks, and it seems to me that maybe reality has some effect on this ideal 60 feet. You won't want to build something knowingly unsafe if you can avoid it.
I'd like to go back to the issue of how we ended up where we are today, and I think that to a large degree we ended up revisiting this because of the interest in from the Fry Springs neighborhood and the JPA neighborhoods in having a project that didn't overwhelm the area, that was of a scale that was suitable. And in fact, I think Mr. Petrus and Adrian Dent had a lot to do with coming up with an idea. I mean, not just saying we wish it was smaller, but actually spending time and coming up with a design that had enough professionalism that it really caught people's attention and saying, well, maybe it could be better. And I think they deserve a lot of thanks. And I think our staff deserve thanks, and VDOT deserves thanks for being willing, open-minded towards looking at this design. I'm like several people have said here, I'm not an engineer, and I'm not going to pretend to understand these things. I think Mr. Hooja perhaps has a little better position to judge these things from his experience as a planner. But what I do know, and I earlier today I made sure that our staff was aware of the JPA's interest and forwarded the email to make sure you were prepared with comments. And what's important to me is that our staff be comfortable with what we go forward, because I do have a lot of confidence that our staff really wants to try to get something that's safe, that can be done soon, and as best as possible meets the desires of the neighborhood, which I think are also City Council's desires. I'd like to see it get smaller, but I'd like to thank everybody for getting it significantly smaller than it was. At this point, I think I'm comfortable with where it is, even though it's not as small as I was hoping for.
We are trying to establish the dimensions right now. We're not designing yet, am I right? Because I would like to make sure that bridge is designed an attractive bridge and not just usual VDOT bridge. You had four, at least in my terms here, four new bridges. Each one of them was better than it. We need to continue the tradition to make it an attractive interest to the neighborhood. So I hope that you'll think that also.
And if I can make one more comment, I mean, the part of what Mr. Springle just said that rang true to me was by having enough space on the north side so the bicycle lane had a little more room to compete with drivers who want to turn right versus drivers who are going to go straight. As bicyclists, that's always a dicey place to be. But it's important to me that we not be that this design be not based on trying to accommodate parking. And so, if there's any degree to which that parking seems to have some priority, and if we could make it smaller, I'm not interested in the parking. If the parking is a side effect that we can't avoid, then sure, why not let people park there?
Well, actually, I had a question about that, which is, I understood that the parking was added as part of a negotiated. No, is that not true?
No, it's simply that was leftover space, and we thought that seems to always be an issue in the city. We're free to stripe it out and say no parking if that's what the neighborhood.
So that wasn't part of an agreement with the adjoining. Okay, well then I agree with Dr. Brown. Any other comments? We have a resolution before us.
Could I ask them to make one comment?
Sure.
There's some preliminary design ideas that pick up on the other bridges, I think West Main Street in particular. Can somebody comment on that just so you're aware of the type of design that's been talked about?
I don't see any design as such.
But there's been some discussions before about design, and just while we're on that issue, I thought it'd be important to hear some of the concerns.
These were some issues that were picked up when the bridge was wider. We had worked with city staff and others from the public hearing comments, and we will be using the same rail system that's used on the West Main Street Bridge. We got permission to use that, and we're also working with the city staff to look at other ways to dress up the handicap ramp and the stairs to make them blend in more. And there are other options that really are not controlled by the bridge width that we'll continue to work with city staff on as necessary to try to blend these in at a reasonable cost. But the rail that you mentioned, that has already been decided.
Will there be to hold the rail with the pillars?
I don't think the details have been, but we're going to try to match what's on West Main Street as closely as we can, knowing that the features are a little bit different because you don't have the real wide sidewalks like you do at West Main Street, so there's a little bit of limitation there.
If you can do West Main Street, I think you'll be doing well.
Right. It's going to be similar to that, but it's not going to have the width and the and the, and the other facilities that we'll put out there to really enhance that.
Well, I just wanted to add my two cents, which is I want to echo Dr. Brown's comments and thank the residents, Ms. Dent and others who were involved in working with VDOT and the city staff to come up with a better design. I think we all agree this is better than what we saw initially. It's not as as narrow as some would like. But when I look at the design that's before us tonight and I look at the design that the neighborhood presented to us as their preferential option, I, frankly, I'm very mindful and I share your concern about not building something that's going to just facilitate a throughway effect through your neighborhood. But I don't see how this design creates any more infrastructure than the one that your preferred design in terms of the amount of traffic that can flow through there. And given the angle at which this is approaching, this is sort of being built, and given the, its proximity to this intersection, and given the need, as Dr. Brown said, to create a safe throughfare for bicyclists, I'm comfortable with the design that we have here, even though I know it's not as narrow as some would like. But.
One more question about the lighting. Is there a plan to have lighting on the bridge, or has it not been designed yet?
Yes, there's plan to have lighting. The locations have been selected. The exact acorn head or any of the actual, like, again, design details, those haven't been selected. And
Could we use similar lighting on West Main Street? It could be used probably.
Yes, we can. We have the design standards now from the city, which I'm sure we'll probably use, and West Main certainly falls within the city standards.
Well, I also hope that you will respect the dark sky regulations.
Certainly.
This is some kind of something built into it.
Definitely, and city standards follows that as well.
Mr. Mayor, can I have one more question? So with the passing of this resolution, could you talk a little bit about a time frame that we might see this bridge replaced?
An add date is set for November 2009, and if we do not change the width or any other substantial design feature, we can hold that. And the idea was to start construction a little bit after football season had ended. We'll be able to completely tear the bridge down and add a pedestrian bridge 10 foot wide for bikes and peds that would facilitate traffic, you know, across the railroad while construction was completed. And hopefully we could have it within a year, I believe, the construction.
That's what we're hoping.
So that that would be like in January of 2010 is when you anticipate tearing the
stage? To opening it up? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I'll just add that I think we have a better design than what we started with. Obviously, I know a lot of people would like to see it smaller. I think I support it as it is. I think that it could be a safety issue. I think there are a large number of bicycles that travel through that area, and I don't think we want to do anything to create any more conflict than there currently is, because we have enough problems with that today. But I think I'm comfortable with the resolution as it's stated.
Is that a motion?
Also move.
Is there a second?
Second.
I'm going to call a question.
Sure.
I just wanted to know, so regarding the parking spaces, you're going to leave?
I didn't hear a whole lot of interest in having the parking. And if we take out the parking, that means we can narrow it a little bit. I don't think.
Does it?
No, you can't say that doesn't affect the bridge width.
Well, I heard him say it might be a couple feet, but maybe I misunderstood.
No, it won't affect the actual width of the bridge.
Okay. I
maybe the neighbors could be.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Just work with the neighbors.
See if they want parking spaces or not.
they feel like it's an asset for the neighborhood. Any other questions, comments? Please indicate your vote. Thank you very much. Thank you all for working through all the issues.
Just to say that I think an example of how neighborhood participation can make better projects, I think, in many ways.
I agree.